We are on Daf Lamed Omid Beis. Let's just review what we have here. Rav Nachmanu ben Hakana equates Yom Kippur for Shabbos, and just like on Shabbos, you're not chayv tashlumin if the chiyuv was generated by a maisa, which was a malach, a violation of Shabbos. So too, in the case of Yom Kippur, for example, the case where he burns down someone else's haystack, he doesn't pay damages. And there was a machlokas in the Gemara between Abaye and Rava as to how to explain Rav Nachmanu ben Hakana. My time with Rav Nachmanu ben Hakana. So Abaye says that if we go back to the original parasha of Lo Yeh Ason Onosh Yeh Onesh, implying that if there's an Ason, then Lo Yeh Onesh, the word Ason indicates an Ason Bidei Shamayim, and this we're going to derive from the parasha of Yaakov, Binyamin, etc. Rav, on the other hand, says that the source for Rav Nachmanu ben Hakana is a parsha of Molach, because in the parsha of Molach, Anosein Mizara La Molach, the Torah seems to equate Mises Bezdin and Karis. So what we're up to today is my Ika Ben Rav Labai. So let's look on Daf Lamed Omid Beis, and we'll see where we're up to. If you see the Omud itself, it's like basically halfway through the Omud. The first word in the line is Shali, and towards the end of that line it says my Ika. I don't know how to count
six lines down from the Vayikra.
Right? Oh, you have translated.
Yeah, yes, so there's different Gemara. Okay? So the Gemara thinks that there has to be some sort of nafkamina here between Rava and Abaye, even though really they're both coming to explain the same Shita, namely Rav Nachmanu ben Hakana. Ika beinayu zar sha'ochal truma. Just by word of introduction, there are two types of punishments bidei shamayim, and the Gemara thinks that they're fundamentally different. One is called a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim, and the other is called a chiyuv karis. Now, the source for a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim in a classic source would be the parsha of Zorus. So, if a non-kohen eats truma, that means as soon as the truma was Hufrisha, it was designated as Truma. From that moment and on, it has Kedushas Truma, which generates an Isu Zorus. The Torah says, called Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh. And that's a posuk in Emor. If the Zar deliberately eats Truma, then he's Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. And that's derived from the posuk there in Emor. It says, Umesu Bo Ki Chalalu. Now keep in mind, as the Rambam is very famous for this, the Rambam says that whenever there's a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim or a chiyuv kares, then if the edim gave him a hasra, then he gets malchus. Okay? In other words, the chiyuv misa bidei shamayim does not replace the chiyuv malchus for violating a law. But here's going to be the difference. When we're talking about the chiyuv malchus bebezdin shalmata for violating a law, that's conditional on the fact that there was a hasra. We need edim in hasra. In the case of a misa bidei shamayim, we don't need a hasra. Hashem knows that he was guilty of this crime. It was a deliberate mazid, and therefore he'll die. Now, it's not clear, and again, this may depend upon many different opinions about what karis is. How is misa bidei shamayim different than karis? It could be that misa bidei shamayim is more chomer than kares because it implies a certain immediacy, or misa bidei shamayim means something less than kares. Kares means by a certain age he'll die. Misa bidei shamayim could be postponed for a long time. But one thing we do know, that misa bidei shamayim and kares are two different punishments. And I'll give you a nafkamina between the two. This is a clear-cut nafkamina. No one would argue about this. With regard to kares, the Torah says va'aririm yihiyu, which means that the onesh kares is not only on the person himself, but it's also on zaro, on his children. Misa bidei shamayim is a punishment that's meted out by the divine being, but only for the over ha'avera, only for the person who violated the sa'avera.
Wait, arim means that if I already have kids and I'm kind of arir, then my kids will also die?
Yeah, that's what it means. Yeah, the punishment. Again, you have to know philosophically how that works out, but it says in the pasuk arim you, and it means that the punishment of kares is hu vizaro nichrasim. Now that doesn't apply to misa v'dei shamayim. In that sense, from that context, I would need a proof to establish that even in the case of misa v'dei shamayim, which is a lesser punishment than kares, Rabbi Chuyim ben Akana would still knock off the chiyuv tashlumei mamon. Are you with me?
Yeah.
In other words, even though we know that Rabbi Chuyim ben Akana knocks off tashlumei mamon in the case of kares, we're not sure about a case of misa v'dei shamayim, and the burden of proof would be on he who maintains that Rabbi Chuyim ben Akana should be expanded to include even misa v'dei shamayim. So, for example, Zar Shachal Truma, does he pay for the Truma? Now, I mentioned to you before that the lav of Kol Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh, of Zoris Betruma, which is a very severe lav that incurs a Chiyuv Misa V'dei Shamayim, that's violated the very moment that the Truma was designated, was separated. But as far as our sugi is concerned, this Ikar Beinayahu, we're talking way later on. It's not at point T1 when the Yisrael was mafresh the Truma, but it's way later on at point T2 when he passed on the Truma over to the Kohen. He has to choose a particular Kohen. That's his right. He has what's called the Tovas Hanah to do so. And once he delivers that Truma to the Kohen, it becomes Momon HaKohen. The kinyan of the Kohen is effectuated the moment that he receives the Truma. Before he receives the Truma belongs to what's called Shevet Kahuna. It doesn't belong to any individual Kohen, but rather it's kind of a kinyan klali, a general communal ownership, and that's between T1 and T2. So from the time of the Afrasha until the time of Nesina, the status of the Truma is this amorphous kind of general kinyan that's not a specific kinyan. Now, you may ask the following question: even if the Tzar would eat the Truma before it was delivered to the Kohen, maybe he owes a Chiv Tashlume Truma to all the Kohenim as a general category. So the answer to that is a sugya in Gittin, which is called Mamon She'ein Lo Tovim, which means that you cannot force someone to pay Mamon without what's called a Tviya, which I guess in English would be a claim. And a claim has to come from one individual. In any event, again, we can't learn all of Shas when we stand on one foot, but the bottom line is that our sugya, which addresses the question as to whether the Tzar has to pay for the Truma that he ate, is addressing a case where the Truma was already passed on to the Kohen. The Kohen now has his own full-fledged kinyan on this Truma. It's worth whatever it's worth in the market. Again, Truma is not worth the same as Chulin because it has a law of supply and demand, but it does have a value. He can sell it to other Kohenim. And now he's lost his Truma. So the Tzar took the Truma of the Kohen. He ate the Truma. Two things happen now. The moment the Tzar eats the Truma, he's chayav misa v'dei shamayim. And the moment he eats the Truma, he is chayav tashlumei mamon. So the question is, do we say that the chayav misa v'dei shamayim, according to Rabbi Chuyim ben Akana, should knock off the chayav tashlumei mamon? And the Gemara says it depends. La Abaye, if you go with Abaye's approach, that Rabbi Chuyim ben Akana is based on the word ason. Ason means any sort of punishment that comes b'dei shamayim. And that's why the Torah uses the word ason to indicate a general halacha that when does he pay? That's the case in Tamei Blanus. That's only in Yeh Ason, but if there's any sort of death, even Bidei Shamayim, that's the word ason, which we derive from a Gzeir Shavit to the parish of Yaakov and Binyamin, then he doesn't pay Tamei Blanus. Here too, in the case of Zar Shachal Truma, according to Abaye, since he's going to suffer an ason, which means a misa b'dei shamayim in this context, he does not pay the kohen for the truma. Now it's really interesting when you think about it, because why should the Kohen, and I'm just asking a more of a philosophical question, why should the Kohen lose out on his shrew, which is worth money to him, because of a violation of Zoros? I mean, the violation of Zoros is Beinonim L'Makom. And the fee of Truva, to pay Tashlumi Truva, is Beinonim L'Chavero, meaning I took a loss, says the Kohen, why shouldn't I be compensated for my loss?
That's like the Gadish.
Correct, exactly. And that fits into the category of Kimlev D'Rabineh, which means that we cannot implement two punishments for the same action. In other words, even though one is related to Shamayim and the other is related to Hefseid Mamon, nevertheless, since they overlap in one action, that one action could not incur both of these chiyuv. So that's the pella of Kimlev D'Rabineh, that the chiyuv be the chiyuv onesh, and now the Nechudim and Akkad is expanding it even Bidei Shemayim, will somehow neutralize the chiyuv mamon, even though they're so radically different one from the other.
Is that particular aspect halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? Because I would say,
well, what do you mean? We just spent the whole sugya deriving it from psukim, so it's not a local motion.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Also, the Rava Chayev, Rava is going to say that in this case, Rav Nechunya ben Akona would agree that he has to pay the kohen because this is not a case of kares; it's a case of misa v'dei shamayim. Now, let's go back to the source. From whence, according to Rava, does Rav Nechunya ben Akona derive his halacha that a chiyuv kares patters you from tashlumin? He derives it from the case of Molech. Well, let's look at the case of Molech. In the case of Molech, the Torah says v'chrati oso. And v'chrati oso clearly means kares. So what the Torah is saying is that this very severe punishment called kares, which is meted out not only to the man himself, but even to his children, that's a substitute for Mises Bezdin. Meaning really, because he brought his son to Molech, he should be put to death by the courts. But for whatever technical reason, they didn't put him to death. Maybe they foot-dragged and they postponed and therefore they didn't put him to death. So the Torah says that v'chrati also. God says, I'll put him to death. And that's called kares. But kares is mentioned explicitly in the pasuk. If this pasuk is the source from Nechunya ben Akona, we have no right to expand it. Right, the ball is in your court. Right, you have the burden of proof to expand it from kares. The Torah is only saying this by kares. So kares is such a powerful and intense, profound punishment that it's able to undermine and neutralize a chiyuv mamon. But in the case of misa v'dei shamayim, which is a lesser punishment, maybe Rav Nechunya ben Akona would agree that there's no din of kimlev d'rabineh. Hence, according to Rava, since the source for Rav Nechunya ben Akona is the parasha Molech, therefore there's no basis for the conclusion that this Zar Shachal Truma should be patur from Tashlumei Mo. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to embark on a very, very tedious and very picayune analysis of this case of Zar Shachal Truma. And before we get to that, I just wanted to say there's a footnote here in the Masifta which caught my attention, caught my eye, about this whole parasha of Molech. What exactly did the father do, and why did the Torah say that no sein zara la Molech is to be put to death? And there's a fundamental, I can't think of a more fundamental controversy than this one. According to one school of thought, the reason why the father is put to death is because, in effect, he caused the death of his son. And here I'll read to you the language of Rashi al Torah. Rashi says, Ha'av ha'yamoser es binolak marim, Komer means the priests of this Molech, Heim ha'yu mavirin oso ben shtei maduros esh. That's Rashi Shita. I'll get back to this in just a second. The Ramban writes that Hakmorim hoyu machzirin es haben li'av v'hoyu ha'av maviro al gabi ha'esh ad shemes. So both Rashi and the Ramban seem to agree that at the end of the day, through this paganistic worship called Molech, the child dies. But the question, the machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban is, who actually put him to death? Who caused his death? Well, on the one end, you could say, according to Rashi, well, the father was Moser Espinola Kamarim. So in a sense, he was Moser Espinola Maves. He caused his son's death. The Ramban is not happy about that, because the Torah does not put you to death for causing the murder of someone. That's causative murder. Therefore, the Ramban goes a step further, and he claims that the Kamarim did whatever they did, you know, they did all their voodoo stuff, and then they gave the child back to the father, and it was the father who actually killed his son. I mean, again, this is all very shocking to us, but... And therefore, the Ramban sees this as a real chiyuv misa, you know, it's a real murderer, a real rotzeach case. Now we have a third shita, which is most radical, you know, put Rashi and the Ramban on one side of the pole, and put the Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah Perek Vav on the other polar extreme. He says the Ramban is right. I'm sorry, Rashi is right that the Kamarim returned the son to his father.
That's Ramban, huh?
Well, again, let's go over it again. According to the Ramban, the Kamarim, the Kamarim gave it back to the father. You're right. Says the Rambam, yes, it's true that the Kamarim gave the son back to the father, and then Hoya Ha'av Mavir Es Bino B'Toch HaShalhevet Avlo Hoya Nisraf. In other words, he would wave the child through the Shalhevet, maybe he got scorched, but he never actually died. So according to the Rambam Shita, the Chiv Misa in the case of Molech is for Avodah Zarah, it's not for Ritzicha. So as Rashi and the Ramban are on the side of Ritzicha, the Ben dies, whether he dies directly through the action of the father, or as the Ramban would say, or according to Rashi, because he, the father, caused the death of his son. The Rambam seems to assume on the other end of the spectrum that the Chiv is a Chiv of Avodah Zarah and not a Chiv of Ritzicha.
How's Pshat? This Mamshat says that if he does all his children, then he's puppet, right? The Molech. So how does that mesh with Leishis?
I don't know. Honestly, that's way beyond my purview. I'm sorry, Ash. If you have anything to say, please tell me. But I, you know, this is all I'm not learning Avodah Zarah. Right. Maybe my next Masechta should be Avodah Zarah, because lately I seem to be masochistic and I choose Masechtas that I've never learned before.
I know that that's one of the sheep.
So I might as well teach Avodah Zarah.
I think the sheep in the Gemara that if he did all his children.
Yeah, again, I can't. Okay. No right. Comment, as we said. I plead the fifth. I really apologize. By the way, what I am fascinated by is Rashi Shita, because if Rashi Shita, the way I understand it, in his Pirush al Torah, is that the Av is chayav for being Moser es bino l'mavis, even though it's the Kamarim who actually put it, the Kamarim put him to death. So this very much reminds me of a very, very famous Tosefta, which is quoted by the Rambam in Hilchas Ritzicha, in Hilchas Shmiras HaNefesh. What happens if the goyim surround the city and they demand that you give them one Jew to die? And if you don't give them one Jew to die, they'll kill the entire city. And the Rambam says, based on this Tosefta, it's a Tosefta in Trumos, Yehargu kulam val yimsuru nefesh achas miYisrael. Said, always bothered me. What do you mean, al yimsu nefesh achas miYisrael? If it was a case of Ritzicha, so we have a principle that there are three cardinal sins which override the chaybahem, and you can't violate these sins even for the sake of pikuach nefesh. So if Ritzicha is involved here, nicha, I understand that therefore to violate Ritzicha, even for the sake of saving the city, there's no heter of a chaybahem. But if it's just moser, it means the goyim themselves are going to put this Jew to death, then a Moser is only a Gorim. He's an indirect cause. He doesn't implement Misa or Ritzicha Befal. But according to this Rashi, if I understand it correctly, again, this is Be'eravon Mubal, but that there's a Chiv Ritzicha even to be Moser, if you know that as a result of this cult, your son is going to be killed, that's also a Ritzicha. And maybe that would explain why we don't apply for Chaybahem to save the entire city if we have to be Moser Achas Mem Yisrael. Alright, anyway. Now the Gemara wants to know the fine. We're about to embark on a very, very picky sugya. I mean, Mamash, the Gemara is going to split this and cut this, you know, 50 times over into its basic particles. You know, it's just like splitting the atom. The halacha, the principle of kimle v'ramine requires bi'idna. And if you know that word, then you don't have to write it down. If you don't know, I would ask you to write it down. And if you were my 18-year-old student and you didn't write it down, I would reprimand you for that. Bi'idna. Bi'idna is an Aramaic word for bevasachas, which in English would be simultaneity. The Gemara is now questioning, you're telling me according to Abaye that Rav Nechunya ben Hakadosh's principle would apply to the case of Zar Shachal Truma, and that would exempt the Zar from paying Tashlume Truma to the Kohen. Well, is there bi'idna here? Is there bevasachas? Is there an absolute simultaneity between the moment that he, the Zar, incurs a chiyuv tashlumin and the moment that he violates the isur zaros of kol zar lo yochal kodesh?
Do we mean absolute simultaneously or
absolutely
one immediately follows
that's
the
other? That's why this is so picky, because we're going to talk about putting it into your mouth, we're going to talk about chewing it, we're going to talk about swallowing it, we're going to talk about going down your belly, down your esophagus. I mean, we're going to mamish take this and split it into, like I call it, splitting the act. You have to be prepared for this sugya. That's why I gave you this introduction. Ula baye, and according to Abaye, is a really true potur. If you are Omar Rav Chizda, we have a statement of Rav Chizda. Moder Rav Nechunya ben Akona. Now, Rav Chizda has a different model, a different scenario, but the Gemara is going to equate his scenario with the scenario of the Kohen, of the Zari eating the Kohen's Truma. Because let's assume that Reuven is eating a Kohen's Truma. What does he have to do before he eats the Truma? He's got to pick it up, no? Uh-huh. How did he get the Truma into his mouth? Again, you're a Chacham, so you know the Gemara's Maskana that it fell into his mouth. But we're not such Chachamim right now. We assume that he lifted up the Truma and then he put it into his mouth. Well, the very second he lifts up the Truma, he already is Chayav Tashlumei Truma because he's called a Ganav. And that's what we're going to derive from Rav Chizda. Moder Rav Nechunya ben Akona begonev chelbo shal chaver v'acholo. Now chelev is osur b'achilo with an isur kares, but it's mutar b'ano. So chelev has a value to it. And if I steal your chelev, I have to pay you for that chelev. But now, let's say Reuven stole Shimon's chelev, and then Reuven went and he ate Shimon's chelev. So if we apply the chiyuv kares, principle of Rav Nechunya ben Akona, Reuven should be exempt from paying Shimon damages to compensate him for the loss of his chelev because he incurs the chiyuv kares. Nay, says Rav Chizda, chayav. Even Rav Nechunya ben Akona would agree that in this case the chiyuv kares of achilas chelev could not undermine the tashlume chelev. And the reason for that is, says the Gemara, Shekvar nischayev b'gneva kodem shebali de isur chelev. It means that the chiyuv gzela gneva preempts or predates the chiyuv of kares, because the very moment that he picks up the chelev, he becomes a ganav, and that incurs chiyuv mamon. And he doesn't violate the isur kares until he swallows the chelev. Alma, what do we see? Dimeidna. Remember, I told you there's a halacha called bi'idna, and this is where I got it from. Dimeidna di agbe. From the very moment he lifted up the chelev, kanye, he was kone the gneva. And once he's kone the gneva, he's mischayv tashlumin. Which means that if a ganav steals something, he lifts it up, and then later on the object goes up in smoke, it gets destroyed, he has to pay its value. So the chiyuv tashlumin here is already set in stone the very moment that he picks up the chelev. From eschai b'nafsho, lo avi adi ochale, he doesn't incur a chiyuv misa, a chiyuv kares, until he eats the chelev. So we have time T1 and time T2. Is hochenami, the same thing should apply here in the case of zar shachol truma. Beinu diagbe, from the moment that he lifted up the truma, the Gemara's going to try to do somersaults in the air and try to come up with a scenario where he didn't lift up the truma. He just ate the truma without lifting it up. But if he lifted up the truma, kanye, it means he made a kinyan. A kinyan gneva, and already the chiyuv tashlumei mamon is set in stone. Ve'ilu, but when does he chayav for the chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim? That's only mischayav benafshel haviyat diachale. It's only later on when he eats it. Now here, there's an entire school of rishonim, including the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ra'ah, and the Rikashkash, many other Rishonim that asked the following. Why is the Gemara, why is Rav Chisda pinning this on Rav Nechunya ben Akana? Forget about Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Let's go with the Rabbanan Shita. Let's talk about Achiv Misa. Why don't you point out, Rav Chisda, your Chiddush, that Kimlei with the Ramine only applies when there's absolute simultaneity. When the Achiv Misa or the Achiv Malkus, whatever the case may be, overlaps simultaneously with the Chiyuv Mamon. I mean, this is not a Chiddush in Hilchus Rav Nechunya ben Akana. And some of the Rishonim are so bothered by this question that they give what I call a technical, mechanical answer. They say, well, since Rav Nechunya ben Akana vis-a-vis Tashlumin is the Mekil, what does it mean he's the Mekil? He allows you to get away with Tashlumin even in a case where the Rabbana would not allow you to get away with Tashlumin, namely the Chiyuv Kares. Therefore, you might have a Havamina that maybe Rav Nechunya ben Akana, he's very lenient and very liberal as far as allowing you to get off the hook for Tashlumei Mamon, and he doesn't require Be'idna. So Rav Chisda wants to tell you that even Rav Nechunya ben Akana would tell you that if it's not Be'idna, you have to pay. You might think you don't have to pay because Rav Nechunya ben Akana, as we said, is the Mekil in Tashlum. But there's a second answer in the Rishonim which I think is more fundamental. It's not just purely mechanical. And that is the following. I'll ask you this as a quiz question. In Macholas Asuros, when the Torah prohibits you achila, how many cases on the list of Macholas Asuros, you know, the list of Macholas Asuros is a very long list, you know, Arla and Kliakarim and Bosa Macholov and Truma for Azar, and it goes on and on and on, Chavis Bepesa. How many cases on the list fit into the Rabbanon sheet of the Rabbanon of Nechun Yukonah, Achiv Misa, that we put you to death? Can you think of how many cases fit in? I'll give you a hint, it's less than 10. It's zero. There is not one case in the Torah that the violation of an Isra Achila will incur a Chiyuv Misas Bezdin. Even Yom Kippur, or for that matter, Chelev, these are all very very severe, that only goes up as far as Karis. I mean, Karis is pretty severe, but it's not a Chiyuv Misas Bezdin. So therefore, Rav Nechunya wanted to tell you that Rav Chisda wanted to tell you that in Rav Nechunya's frame of reference, when we can talk about Achiv Kares that's incurred by Achila, and that should not go to Tashlumei Mamon, here we're going to talk about different scenarios. Did he first lift up the moment of his friend and he was coated the hakbah as a ganav? Did he bend over and eat it, you know, without lifting it up? All these distinctions are very important. I'm going to go through different minutiae in the stages of achila. However, with regard to the chachamim, we cannot come up with a case of achila that incurs achiv misa b'dei adam. And therefore, the entire discussion of Rav Chisda is totally, it's totally theoretical in the context of the Chachamim. Let's go on. So the Gemara answers, Hachav b'mayaskinan, what's the case of Zar Shachal Truma, in which he incurs both a Chiv Misa B'dei Shamayim and a Chiv Tashlumei Mamon simultaneously be'idna, kegon she'tochav lo chavero letoch piv. So let's say Shimon lifts up the truma. He has no intention of taking the truma for himself, otherwise Shimon would be the ganav. And he places the truma into the mouth of Reuven, who's a czar. So Reuven never actually lifted up the truma, and the chiyuv on a monetistical level, in monetary law, to reimburse the Kohen is going to be generated when he swallows the truma. And at that moment, he also incurs a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim for zar shachal truma. So let's just try to understand the structure of the Gemara. What the Gemara is trying to desperately come up with is a scenario of be'idna, and the only way you could get be'idna and zar shachal truma, as far as tashlumei truma is concerned, if you assume he didn't lift up the truma, the zar himself didn't lift up the truma. Again, there's going to be a long discussion in the Rishonim as to whether or not he makes a kinyan if he never lifted up the truma. In other words, what makes him into a ganav who's chayav tashlume gneva if he never lifted it up? Let me explain. Gneva requires a maisa kinyan. Where is the maisa kinyan? So for this, Rabosa, we'd have to learn Bava Kama. This is the overlap between Bava Kama and Ksuvis. In Bava Kama, there's a concept called Tashlume Hano. It means the following. There are three categories of compensation. One category is Gneva, meaning Kinyan, where you made a Kinyan on someone else's property, absconding with it, you lifted it up, you took it into your shoes, etc., etc. Therefore, your chayv is a ganov. Then we have another case on the other extreme, which is called mazik. You never actually took it, but you destroyed it. So let's say your object is here, and I take a hammer and I smash it to smithereens. I never made a kinyan on it, but I'm chayv to compensate you for your loss under the law of mazik. Then we have a case which is sort of neither here nor there. It's not Gneva, there was no Maisa Kinyan. And on the other hand, there was no Maisa Hezek. What's the case? The case is, what in the language of the Shas, it's called Shein. Shein means a tooth. It means a case where there was Achila, and I ate your Peros, right? Your Tvua, whatever it might be. And the Gemara establishes that I have to pay you Dmei Hana. Dmei Hana means, let's say I would have spent, let's say, $5 for supper that night, and now that I ate your tvua and my belly is satiated, I save myself $4.5 because I'm going to have to get a drink or whatever. So I pay you that differential. I pay you the $4.5.
Why is that not hazard? I mean, I own this grant of mine is no longer usable by me.
Right, so the answer that it's not a mazik is because once he put it into my mouth, then it's already despicable, it's already disgusting. So the mazik here is really Shimon. Again, we have to understand why Shimon's not chayv as a mazik, but as far as Reuven is concerned, he can't be chayv neither as a gazlan, a ganov, nor as a mazik, because at the moment that he swallowed it, it was already worthless as far as the bialim are concerned. But there is another category of chiyuv, and that's called hana, dmei hana. So for that, we'd have to learn shein, because in the case of shein, the Torah says that if the shor eats your fruits or your vegetables, then if it's, let's say it's my shor, I have to pay you dmei hana, meaning how much I saved myself because I didn't have to feed my animal. That's called shein. I mean, shein is a very unique kind of mazik in the constellations of Mazikin. But let's just review the bottom line. What we have so far in this sugya is that if tochav lo chavero truma l'toch piv, and therefore lo igbias ha-truma, so the one who swallowed it, the zar who's chayv misim v'deshmaim, did not lift up the truma, therefore there's no chiv tashlumin v'toras ganov, he has no kinyan. He's a kind of a mazik, and he pays hanos meyov, and that hanos meyov, when it goes down his belly, is simultaneous with the chiyuv misa v'dei shamayim. So we have here be'idna, comes along a bay, and he says, in this case, we pater him up from tashlumin because of the principle of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. So now the Gemara slices it up even further. Sof, wait a minute. Kevan delasei, he put it into his throat, but he starts chewing it. He doesn't just swallow it in one gulp. Again, we'll see later on, we'll have that case too. Every scenario is going to be taken up. But let's assume he chews it. So it was placed into his mouth. Because again, you want to underline the word piv. Right? What was the Gemara's answer? Piv means he placed it into his mouth. He didn't shove it down his throat. The throat would be called the base habliya, but it says l'toch piv. So at this point, the Gemara doesn't know that we have that the case of Abai is where Shimon put it into the base habliya of Reuven, but rather he put it into the mouth of Reuven. Now, once Reuven has the truma in his mouth, what does he do? He chews it up. The Gemara thinks at this point that le'isa, that chewing something, is a kinyan. And that's what the Gemara says, kanya. Kanya, and therefore he's chayav b'tashlumin. Now once again, we'd have to know a lot about Hilchos Geneva v'Aveda in order to understand what is the nature of this kinyan. You know, when you chew something up, that l'chor is an act of destroying it. Is that called an act of kinyan? So if you're going to benefit from this chewing and you enjoy it, that's considered a maisa kinyan. It's a positive act. It's not a negative, destructive act. Also, the Gemara now has the following question. If so, the moment he chews it up, even before he swallows it, he has already incurred, as a result of this maisa kinyan, a chiyuv tashlumin. But at what point in time will he be chayav for zar shochel truma? That's only when it goes down his base habliya. Now, Rabosai, I have a question here, and I couldn't find anyone who asks this question, so I must be making a mistake. And I don't know where my mistake is. Maybe you gentlemen will correct me. There's a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in many sugyas and shas. What is achila? Whether it's hanos grono or hanos me'ayin. So, for example, the Gemara says in Afkamina, if let's say you put a chatzi zayis of Iser into your mouth, let's say nevela, and you chewed it up, then you spit it out, and you ate it a second time. So Gemara wants to know whether you chayav for kezayis. So if you hold hanos me'ayim, that only one half of kezayis went down into his me'ayim. But if you hold hanos grono, the Gemara says, then the very moment that he chews it, he violates the Iser, even though he spit it up and he never swallowed it. And therefore, when he chews it up, he spits it out, let's say it's still edible, and he chews it again, his one half his eyes plus one half his eyes equals the whole size, and he gets malchus for that. So I don't know why this Gemara assumes, without even blinking, that he's not chayav for achilas truma until it goes down his esophagus, until it, until bola. Why not say that he's chayav for? So, in other words, what I'm asking basically is, if a zar takes truma into his mouth, he chews it and spits it out, is he in violation of zar? So it's only when he swallows it. Our Gemara clearly assumes it's only when he swallows it. But I thought that should depend upon the machlokas Reish Lakish from Yochanan. Now, it could be that in certain cases everybody agrees you need hanos me'ayin, but I don't know why truma would fit into that category. The Gemara says that Yom Kippur fits into that category, that everyone agrees that if you spit it out, you're not chayav. Why? Because the Torah says v'inisem, and the inui is when your belly is growling for food. So it all depends on hanos me'ayin.
I take it the Gemara doesn't clearly posek between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about this, correct? Remains a
right, but the Gemara goes through many, many different rayas this way and that way. I don't remember how we paskel halacha, but I'm just saying I don't know why the Gemara is assuming here as a double portion up front that ad debola he's not chayev for zoros.
Maybe there was a pesach in Babel.
I'm not looking for technical answers. I'm looking more for a lundish answer. Why would it be that truma requires hanos me'ayim in order to violate the isa truma? That's why I don't know. It could be that it has something to do with the Heftz of Kiddusha. In other words, all other Machalos Asuras is the Heftz of the Isura. Truma is a little bit different. It's what's called the Heftz of the Kiddusha. So Heftz of the Kiddusha, it's not enough that you chew it, you have to swallow it. I don't know exactly why, but it needs work.
This is your next article.
Yeah, okay. So I hope you don't mind. I use you gentlemen sometimes as a salary.
Oaf is chayav, but oaf only if it's
oaf, a live oaf, you mean?
No, oaf for a little bit. If you took a
oaf tummy, what are we talking?
Somebody's makdish an oaf, and you're not chayav oaf until it's in the moment. That's a that's separate from other things. The oath is a separate, special halacha by oath. So,
Maybe it's a birya, I don't know, I'm not sure. Okay. In any event, so the Gemara now says, Kigon shetachalo l'sof beis habliya. It wasn't that Shimon put it into the mouth of Reuven, but he mamish put it into the throat of Reuven. So Reuven never actually chewed it. So if Reuven never actually chewed it, you can't say that he had a kinyan and he's chayav as a ganav for tashlume gneva. At the moment that he chewed it, he never actually chewed it. So what happens is that Shimon puts it into Reuven's beis habliya. Shimon swallows it. At the very moment that he swallows it, he incurs two different chiyuvim. On the one hand, he's chayav for the hanos me'ayim that he now fills up his belly, and there's a halacha in the zikin that if you enjoy the benefit of someone's object and you cannot, then you have to pay for that. And at the same time, he incurs a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim for zaros. So Gemara says, hey chidomit, we're going to still have to slice it even thinner. Ida motzila dura. How far down to the sablia did Shimon stuff it? If there's still a possibility for Reuven to cough it up, nihader, then he's required to cough it up. And if he doesn't cough it up, then at that moment, when he decides he's not going to cough it up, he incurs a chiv tashlumen. Again, he's not chayev for misi b'dei shamayim until, just one second. Let me just read to you the translation. He says, Nihader, olav lahotzia. He has to cough it up. Im lohotzia, mischayev betashlumen biosasha, sharei kevan sheyesh lo afsharut, lehotzia satrumi bipiv loasa ke nimtza, shekaes hu chayev. V'chiv misa eno yachal lefotcha shrei eno chal lachas. Okay, bachash. I just want to make sure I wasn't off the thing. So, as far as our assumption regarding Truma is concerned, the Gemara never budges. Never budges. That seems to be a political platform. We never budge. We never give in, right? No compromise. There's no compromise. You're only chayef for Truma after it goes down into your belly. Okay? That's the Toch Meir. But it could be that he's chayef for Mamon, for Tashlumin, even before it goes down to his belly, the moment that he decides that he's going to swallow it. So, Toch Kedei, the Blia, when he decides that he's not going to cough it up, which he could, at that point, he's Chayv Tashlume Mamon. He's not Chayv Misa until he swallows it completely. And it goes down his esophagus. Okay. So in the footnote here, he presents three different stages in this whole procedure of eating something. And we're talking about, number one, Adayin nitan lahotzias amachol mimenu. He's still at a point where he can cough it up. Point number two is when it's already down his throat to the point at which he can no longer cough it up. And point number three is when he actually gulps it down. When is the chiyuv tashlumin chal? It's the moment b'shasha ochel nimtza makom sheyochel lotzia misham. He's chayv tashlumin at the moment that he could cough it up. At that moment that he still has the ability to cough it up, and he decides not to do so, he becomes chayv tashlumin moment. The chiyuv misa chal only after the bliya itself. Fine. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha, what's the case of Abaye that we apply Rav Nachuni ben Akana to Achiv Misa B'dei Shamayim to Pater Rav Tashlum de Motzi de Lo tzricha de Motzi le'ahadura. I'm sorry, I skipped a few words. Yeah, sorry. Ve'i de lo motzi la'dura. If on the other hand Shimon put it into the Beis Habliya in such a way that it's impossible for Shimon to cough it up. I'm sorry, it's possible for Reuven to cough it up. Is Amai Chayev, the Gemara thinks in such a case, he cannot incur Achiv Misa B'dei Shamayim for Achilas Truma. Again, he may be Chayev Tashlumin for what's called Hanah, because he saves himself for breakfast that morning, but he's not going to be Chayev Misa, because that's not called an Achila. So again, with regard to Tashlumi Mamon, there's a chiyuv called Hanah. even without an achila. But with regard to macholas asuris, including truma, you'd only chayv an onish for achila if there was an achila. Here, this is not an achila. Why? Because the moment he swallowed it, he had no choice. He couldn't even cough it up. So there was never an action on his part in which he took the truma and put it down his base up, down his me'ayim. Now Rashi here introduces a concept called onus. That's problematic. Onus means that it was against his will. I mean, if that be the case, the Gemara could have had a simple answer to this problem, according to Rashi. That maybe he told, you know, Reuven told Shimon, he sort of authorized Shimon to put it into his mouth. And that would then he's not an onus. You know, the more logical way of learning this Gemara, which is the way the Ritva learns this Gemara, is that we're not talking about onus. What we're talking about is that he's potter because there's no maisachila. Lo tzricha, the Gemara says, the matzila dura. Let's go back to the original premise that enoch hinami, there is a way that he can cough up the truma. So it's not as if he didn't do an achila. He decided to swallow it. He theoretically he could have coughed it up, but how? Al yedat chak. In other words, it's really deep down in his throat. It's difficult to get it out of there. But if he makes a certain effort, hit amtsut yeter, if he's misamitz and he works on, he can cough it up. And he can get it out of his mouth. However, if he would cough it up, at that point, since it's already so down his throat, is timas. Timas means it's disgusting, it's mos, it's not edible anymore. So the Bailam has lost his truma. The Kohen will not have the value of the truma because there's nothing he can do with this truma. It's absolutely disgusting. So in this case, there's no chiyuv tashlum b'toras gzela because he didn't steal it, he didn't lift it up. But yet, he's going to be chayav as a mazik because he could have coughed it up. And not only that, at that moment that he decided not to cough it up, not to do that extra effort, he swallows it, and that's called a maisachil. So now we have a simultaneity between his chiyuv as a mazik and his chiyuv as misa b'dei shamayim as a zar shachal truma. So again, after all the cutting it down and, you know, all the dissection, what we come up with here is the following scenario, that enochinami, there was no kinyan gneva because Reuven, the zar who ate his truma, did not lift up the truma, it was placed into his throat. And if you'll ask me, well, he should be chayev for not spitting it out, well, yes and no. It's only, he's only able to spit it out al yedat chak. In other words, it was so deep down that it was very difficult for him to regurgitate it. But since even if he would regurgitate it, it would not be worth anything to the Bailam. It's so mos. Therefore, the decision that he made not to spit it up is not called gzela. It's not that he's actually taking the object, because at this point it's really disgusting. So the only thing that we've been mechayev him for is for the hanoah, for the benefit he gets that he fills up his belt. Now that chiyuv is incurred the moment that it goes down his esophagus into his stomach. And at that point he violates the chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim of his zar shachal truma. Now the Gemara is going to offer two alternative answers to this problem. The question is how much time we have. Maybe I'll try to fit in at least one of them. We'll leave Ravashi at the end of Laminum and Base for tomorrow, but let's do Rav Papa. Rav Papa Amar, Kigon Shetochav Lo Chavero, Mashkin Shel Truma L'Toch Piv. There's a distinction here between Ochlin, that's solid food, and Mashkin, which is liquid. What happens is when Shimon pours liquid truma, that means we took the truma and we made it into a liquid. Let's take the case, the easiest case would be yayin v'shemen. So we took grapes or olives and we crushed them, made it into liquids of wine and oil, and Shimon pours down this wine of truma into the mouth of Reuven. Now once we're talking about Mashkin, then they become bows the moment they go into your mouth. You know, it's solid food you can spit forward and it's still edible. Maybe it's not, you know, you wouldn't give it in a gourmet cooking class, but it's edible. But liquids become disgusting the moment you put it into your mouth. Therefore, although here in this case there's no chiyuv machmas gzela, because again it was Shimon who poured it into his mouth, not Reuven himself, he's going to be chayav for hanas grono, meaning when he swallows it, he enjoys the benefit of the wine. So the chiyuv tashlum and misa are simultaneous, because at that moment when he swallows the wine, he incurs both a chiyuv hanah and at the same time a chiyuv misa for zarshe shasa mashkin shaltru. And then we're up to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi really opens up a whole new world. Okay, it's mamish unbelievable. Okay, then, so let's make a note. If I can borrow your pencil, Asher, for a split second, just to make a note here.
We're here.
Oh, okay, you have one. Great. So we're up to Rav Ashi. Thank you so much. We'll shut off the air conditioning.